It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. We're going to begin the study with verse 8, and we'll go down through verse 11. And so please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and I hope that you can read and follow and study along. And as you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. Phone number is 217-440-4402. If you would like to check out our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Got many studies there. Please enjoy them. Look to them, and you'll enjoy the study of the Word of God there, verse by verse. And if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one would be just fine. Now, if you'd go to your Bibles, and we'll begin the study today, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come unto you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and to all Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And so we'll end the reading there with that 11th verse, and we'll be in with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy this precious time. It's so wonderful to study your precious Word and just go verse by verse to learn and to grow. And so, Father, thank you. You just guide and lead us now. Send your sweet Spirit that he will teach us your precious Word. Each one of us need, number one, to come to know you as our Lord and Savior, and that we don't miss that, that we don't miss the opportunity, recognizing that we're lost or a sinner. We need salvation. And once we've come by faith and trusted in you, and your precious Spirit has come to live within our hearts to guide and lead us each and every day and to change our lives into something that's pleasing unto you, thank you, Father, for that opportunity to be born again, as John chapter 3 tells us. And Father, then the day comes that we begin to grow each and every day. And thank you, Father, for the teacher that we have in the Holy Spirit that's within our hearts. Guide and lead us now, Father, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we begin here with this 8th verse, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come unto you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come unto you. That's exactly what happens the day that you're saved. The day that you're born again. That day is the day that the Holy Spirit comes to live within your heart. I hope that you understand that. It's difficult to explain, but the day that you acknowledge, and that has to come from the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts your heart, shows you that you're lost, and it invites you to come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. He saves you. He takes your sin away. He sets you free, and the walk and the life begins. So please that you will listen and understand those things. And here, as they were given the command, because the day that this is going to happen is the day of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. And as we count and look at the calendar, we find that it is just 10 days away, because the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, it's the same thing, and that tells us the number of days, and that is 50 days. And so we have, as it looks, witness this. And so now we are 40 days into that time period, because Jesus was a witness from the time of his resurrection. 40 days he walked and fellowshipped with his disciples, with the believers. And so we have that time period has taken place. Now he has begun to ascend, go back to his Father. And so we do have this time period of the 10 days to wait. And we'll get into chapter 2 there. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the second chapter, and we'll be there at a later time to have a great study there. But that is what they're waiting for. And so back here in verse 8 now of chapter 1, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come unto you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. So the commission that was given to them, but before it could be carried out, the disciples must be endowed with the power from on high, the Holy Spirit. Now, if we go back to John chapter 14, John chapter 14, and we're going to read from verse 16 through 20 right now. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. It's a wonderful verse of Scripture explaining the Comforter is coming. And here they're giving that same word, that same promise again. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come unto you, and ye shall be witnesses in Jerusalem. So the promise is given, and this power is not of themselves. The power that we have as we give out the gospel and tell people about the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, the Savior, that is not our power. That's not my power. That is the power of the Holy Spirit that convicts your heart. And I pray that you're convicted today of your sin, showing you who you are. And everybody seems to think that there's some good in people. There is none. We need to understand that. The only way that we can have joy and do something good is to first be born again. Because otherwise we're just in the flesh. The flesh is corrupt. The flesh is cursed. And any good deeds that the world thinks of are of no value whatsoever until the day you trust in the Lord Jesus. And so we need to understand that the power is not of ourselves. This power is from above, and it will come at Pentecost, as we read in chapter 2. And then they are given the instruction of where to go. Now, what a mission field. They said, first in Jerusalem, right here, right where were the very place where the Lord Jesus was arrested and where he was condemned and where he was crucified. The very place where Jesus conquered sin and death. The very place where he rose again. That's where you start. You see, the day that you really meet Jesus, you actually go back to that cross where Jesus died. Because your sin was nailed upon that cross. Your sin was carried, was borne by my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He took my sin. He took your sin. But until you come by faith and believe that you're lost and you need a Savior, it is of no value to you. Your name must be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life the day that you say yes to Jesus. And that's the same time and day that you recognize that you're a lost, worthless sinner and you need a Savior. That's when you have life. So it begins in Jerusalem. Then it goes to the surrounding area from there to Judah. Then we come to Samaria, which a Jew was not even supposed to walk through Samaria, wasn't to speak, wasn't to look upon a Samaritan. And yet they're told to go first to Jerusalem, then to Judah, then to Samaria, and then to the world, to the uppermost, uttermost part of the earth, to the world. Let's go back to John chapter 3, verse 16, because this is a wonderful verse of Scripture to kind of start this study with. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wonderful verse of Scripture. They continued to work to witness in the Jerusalem and Judah area until the death of Stephen. After that, they were literally scattered abroad. And let's go to Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Acts chapter 8. Verse 4, therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. And if you'll notice, right above there, and Saul was consenting unto his death. That was the death of Stephen. At that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judah and Samaria, except the apostles, the devout men, carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. It's hard to imagine that that's the same one that we call Paul. And that is the perfect example of what happens the day you're born again. That you can go from someone that stands there and watch someone being stoned to death, taking believers, Christians, and throwing them in prison, and turning about face, turning a total turnabout to where you're the one preaching the gospel. You're the one now that's being persecuted. And that's what happens the day you trust in Jesus. Because your life totally, totally changes. So what they were about to receive was something much greater than they ever thought of or hoped for. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 21. Verse 15. I love this verse. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. I love that. He gives each one of us a voice to speak, a mouth, and wisdom. That's what comes when you trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Let's look at Luke 24. We're going to read from verse 45 to the end of the chapter and end of the book. Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 45. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And that does not happen to you until the day you accept Jesus as your Savior. You maybe have taught Sunday school. You maybe be a preacher. You maybe be, again, a Sunday school teacher. And you have taught the Word of God. You go to Bible study, and you converse over the Word of God. But until the day that you say yes to Jesus, acknowledge your sin and say yes to Jesus, you do not have the understanding of the Word of God, because you cannot understand it. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. You must be born again. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endowed with the power from on high. The Holy Spirit we spoke of here in Acts. Remember, Luke wrote Acts, and so this is a continuation where we're studying. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Now we'll come back once again here to chapter 1 of Acts. But ye shall receive the power from after that the Holy Ghost is come unto you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Joy, joy, giving thanks always to all things unto God, and to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. A wonderful study. Verse 9, Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Jesus had told his disciples many times that he would return to his father. And here we have it. What a sight. Let's think about that. For 3 years, they walked with the Lord Jesus. For 3 years, they talked with the Lord Jesus. For 3 years, they witnessed miracles that no man, no human could do. He healed the blind. He gave them sight. The lame that was lame from birth, they walked. So many physical miracles. But of course, I want you to know that the greatest miracle is the miracle of the new birth. Being born again. And I can't stress that enough. But these folks, you know, witnessed all these things. And they watched him be arrested. And then we have the crucifixion. And then we have him being buried. And then on that Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday, when they went to the tomb to finish the burial, they found it to be empty. And then they enjoyed his presence off and on for the next 40 days. They walked with him. Again, they witnessed and they visited with him. They can testify that it is his body. He has the nail-scarred hands, has the pierced side. He has a nail-scarred feet. It's him. He says, I'm not a ghost. I'm not a spirit. Touch me. Give me food to eat. Flesh and bones. His precious blood was presented to his father. Because you see, his blood is perfect. It's not cursed as ours. It's perfect. And he shed his blood to save you and me. And he took that precious blood and he presented it to his father. What a joy. And so out of those 3 years, from all those times, and now they stand there. And when he had spoken these things, verse 9, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. This wasn't just an ordinary cloud. I believe that this is the same cloud that we had at the Mount of Transfiguration. I believe it's the same cloud, the cloud of Shekinah glory that overshadowed the mount when Moses was up on the mount. I believe it's the same cloud that hovered over the Holy of Holies when we had the tabernacle and the temple. I believe that's the cloud that received him out of their sight. Cloud, it says received, means to take in. To take in. And so you see, and then a cloud took him in out of their sight. Beautiful. Again, we have the cloud over the mercy seat. You can look at that. Let's do that. Let's go back to a verse of scripture that helps us with that. It goes to 1 Kings. Chapter 8. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. I think we find that it's the same cloud that came to take the Son of God home. So we've changed here now, because until now, these followers had walked by sight. He was absent for 3 days, but then returned, and they enjoyed his presence for 40 days. But now, he's going home to be with his father, going back home. And so now they have no longer will walk by sight, but they're going to walk by faith. And that's what we do. We walk by faith. Yes, you know, for the disciples, it was quite a day to witness this, to stand there and watch this. But it was a wonderful day for the Heavenly Father, for his Son to return home, to be seated at the right hand. Jesus took his proper place after he had finished the work that his Father had given him to do. Just think about the angels as they rejoiced, the spirits of the saints that are there. Because you see, when Jesus rose from the dead, he emptied out what we call paradise. And I believe at that time he took every born-again believer from Adam on out of the place that they were kept. Because you see, they couldn't go home. They couldn't go into God's presence until Jesus had finished the work. And he had finished what he had been sent to do. He died on the cross for our sins, and he rose again and gave us life. Now can they go home. And at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, they did. I believe they were taken home. So all the saints there will be rejoicing. So he finished the work, and now is seated at the right hand. He is our advocate. He is our great high priest. What a joy. What a joy that we have. We're just about out of time, but let's go back to Hebrews chapter 4. Hope we have enough time to read this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Beautiful verse of Scripture. Well, wonderful verse of Scripture as we enjoy each and every day looking to the Word of God. And we find in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. See, Jesus died for all, but you must accept that free gift of salvation. You must come by faith to Jesus and be born again. So please, please, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?